We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now, we have Chip Simmons, who is the Escambia County Sheriff, who has been unfortunately necessitated a lot of activity on social media, putting out stories, explaining the law, teaching people what they did not know, all of which is very important. We'll get to it. But Chip, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Great. Let's first talk about the one that I think probably caught the most people by surprise, which this really bizarre case involving a corrections officer from Santa Rosa County and child abuse. And as you investigated that case, you found out that the daycare where these children were going, a 1- and a 3-year-old, that you tell me, because now we've had the daycare worker operator has been arrested because of failure to report, right?
Well, that's it. Yeah. If you recall, we had a Denisha Blunt, I believe is her name. We had a Denisha Blunt that took a 3-year-old into a medical facility to get some. You got me?
Yeah, we got you.
Yeah. So we had one lady, Denisha Blunt, bring a 3-year-old into a medical facility for some treatment. And when the medical staff became suspicious, she took off of that child, if you recall.
Yep.
So they went to Santa Rosa County, tried the same thing. We used some of our license plate readers to help us identify where that car is, stopped it. And then we launched an extensive investigation because all we charged them with at this point was felony neglect for the care. We're still trying to piece together exactly who committed the crime of the child abuse in the first place. In doing so, we contacted the individuals at the daycare, the Children's Point Learning Academy, where we understood that the 3-year-old and the 1-year-old was actually attending. And when we did so, we talked to a number of the workers there, including the director, and found out that they had documented on at least 3 different occasions that we could see some bruising and some suspected abuse, and even took photographs of that. But what they did not do, what the director did not do, Tanisha Woods, she did not report, and she's mandated to report by state statute any abuse because of her position. She's supposed to report it and identify herself.
How does that happen? I mean, if you know enough to document the abuse, you recognize abuse, you know your mandatory report as your position as a child, like 3 different times?
The 3 different documentation.
Good Lord. Like, these kids are being abused, and somebody who is in an official position to know and do something to stop it does nothing.
They took pictures of it.
Yeah.
But did not do the number one thing you're supposed to do, and that's report it to the abuse hotline. I don't have any excuses.
Yeah.
For anyone like that.
It sounds like she wouldn't have been the only one. I mean, it sounds like if there
were other employees there, but the thought there is the other employees told the director, and the director
was supposed to do it. Report. Okay.
And again, we didn't want to really get into that
too much. Okay. But then you said something when you put out this video yesterday that this was the part that caught me by surprise, is you said, and I knew that teachers and social workers and law enforcement officers and judges medical personnel all have an obligation to report child abuse. Of course, that's been that way for forever. But you said that anybody over the age of 18, any person in the state is obligated to report child abuse to the abuse hotline. Is that?
That is correct. That law changed a couple of years ago, as I recall. It used to be certain people in positions. Again, you talked about medical professionals, law enforcement, teachers. They were mandated to report. Now, everyone over the age of 18 is a mandatory reporter, but you can do it anonymously through the abuse hotline that I just mentioned. But if you were in those positions in law enforcement, daycare workers, you not only have to report, but you often have to, you cannot do so anonymously.
Okay. And I looked at, because this is what I do, chapter 39.201, a person is required to report immediately to the central abuse hotline established in writing through a call to the toll free. You can report it anyway, but if any of the following has occurred, child abuse, abandonment, neglect, and it goes on by an adult other than parent, by anybody, like it says a person. So we are all, and I listen, you know, my job is to know everything that happened. I don't remember this law going into place, but this means that essentially you're committing a crime if you fail to report.
Yes, you're violating your violation of state statute.
That's correct. That's a very, I mean, that's a very important PSA thing, that people don't know about.
I love that. We need to be able to protect our children. And, you know, we have, unfortunately, over the last couple of months, not just in Escambia County, but I think Santa Rosa County had a brutal child abuse case as well. Yeah. And we need to be able to protect our children. People need to understand they have a responsibility that, again, basically, if you see something, then you need to say something. In this particular case, you need to report to the abuse hotline. And then they'll be followed up on.
Absolutely. No, and again, I just, you know, to clarify, in case it hasn't been made abundantly clear, if you are an adult and you suspect that there is abuse, abandonment, or neglect going on with a child, you're obligated by law to report it, or you are now guilty of a criminal violation. And that's relatively new. So to the abuse hotline. But you can do it anonymously.
That's true. And I will tell you, some people don't know. Is it abuse, or is it discipline, or is it a horseplay? I can tell you that Gulf Coast Kids House has a free training on their website on what to look for. So if you've got time, please go to the Gulf Coast Kids House. They can give you some pointers on what to look for if you're not sure, you know. If you're not sure, then I would go ahead and report it, and then they can take a look at it.
And by the way, that includes sexual abuse as well, to make sure that we're clear about that.
Yeah, you cannot weaponize this. Remember, you cannot intentionally report abuse that didn't
take reports
place.
Are a crime
false
too.
False reports are a crime, right? So because we've had situations where people want to get someone in trouble, or there's a custody battle, there's all sorts of things. But again, what we want to do at the bottom line here is to protect our children.
By the way, it is 1-800-962-2873, or if you want to think about it this way, it's 96 abuse. You spell it out on your phone, 96 abuse. Back to Sheriff Chip Simmons. We had another incident also involving a, you know, kind of advisory. This one I think most people might know, but as far as the law goes, you had two different incidents. One with the Oakwood Terrace shooting from a couple weeks ago. And there you have a woman who's been charged with assisting, you know, picked up a gun.
Assisting, and to say the least.
Yeah, facilitating, coordinating.
In fact, we put a little video excerpt out, two different ones of her assisting. And, you know, if you want to know what assisting looks like, it's giving someone a gun to go involve yourself in a shootout. And then also from a separate individual that has already been shot and laying on the ground, going and picking up his gun and then discarding it. That's a crime.
Damaging evidence, destroying, hiding evidence,
obscuring. Yeah. That's correct.
So,
all of the above.
So rearming the people involved in the illegal activity and destroying the evidence that they were involved in it after the fact. Both. If you help a felon, you
become a felon. That's that's a lot of felon right there.
Yeah.
She did a lot of obstructing.
Well, I don't know. I was just here in my shower cap watching. No, we see. You know, we see what happened. But you had another case, too, where a mom transported her son accused of murder across many state lines, right?
Yeah, I remember this is the guy we caught over in Phoenix, Arizona, and people are like, well, why did it take you so long to find him? Well, because mama came from Montgomery, picked him up the very next day, took him to Montgomery, then he went, I think, to Houston, and then to Phoenix, and he was going to try to go to El Paso, but we were able to, Marshall's Task Force, we were able to pick him up over there. So we ended up charging Mama. Her name is Sonia Cross McAdoo of Montgomery with principal to the murder because we have what we think is really good evidence that she knew what took place. And the very next day, she comes to town, pick up Junior, and take him over to Montgomery.
So when you tell your kids, hey, if you get into trouble, I don't care what you did, just make sure you call me. Don't include in that a promise to travel them across state lines to avoid law enforcement.
Well, and people make decisions, and ultimately you find yourself in jail and in prison because of it.
Crazy, crazy. And connected to a murder. It's a very serious case. You also had a kind of an odd case, but we need to talk about it, of some kids in a van, in a white, you know, kind of like a molester's van, basically, offering candy to other kids as part of a TikTok challenge?
Yeah, I wasn't aware. I'm not much of a TikToker, as you can imagine, but we got a report.
I don't know. I see you for the dance videos.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I'm out there. I can tell you that we got a report that there was a white car with a couple of white guys in it behind a school bus, and then when a kid got off a school bus right in his front yard, and it was on video, the kids pulled up and offered him candy. And we're like, well, that seems odd. Why would you do that? Now, you know, a lot of kidnappers don't necessarily follow that closely to school buses. However, We wanted to check it out.
Yeah.
And we wanted to make sure that this suspicious activity was not something more sinister. And what we had were able to find out, because a lot of these buses have cameras, fortunately, and this car also passed a different bus. We were able to get his tag. We didn't use our license plate readers. We actually just ran the tag. And we talked to him, and I said, yeah, it's a TikTok challenge. And apparently they come up on school kids, offer them candy, and see what they do. I guess watch them run or see the reactions. How stupid is this?
Yeah.
You know, and it's not the first TikTok challenge that I've said those particular words. How stupid is that? There's one about kicking doors in. There's a bunch of different acts of stupidity that you see on social media. This particular one, we were able to talk to them. We talked to the kid's family, the 10-year-old's family, explained to them what was going on. We talked to the kids and that did this, and talked to their families. And well, there's not necessarily a crime. You know, it's not a crime to ask a kid if he wants candy.
Right.
It's just one of those things where we want to make sure that we ran it down.
Well, and if you're any vehicle, but a suspicious looking vehicle, and I mean, you know, parents carry guns. Parents get upset. You know, parents or just, you know, don't. They don't like the fact that you're offering their kid candy. They wouldn't be justified, but you can see how somebody could get hurt over this, because it can be very easily understood as a bad thing.
And even if it's not deadly force, even if it's just a confrontation,
right?
I will tell you that if I see someone talking to my kids mm-hmm. and they're driving away, I might actually get in the car and follow them until I can contact authorities. And who knows how that those types of situations could end. So,
right?
Yeah, it could be you put people in fear. And when you put people in fear for their children, People react a lot different than they normally would.
You had a takeover at Cordova Mall. I know it's in the city. Of course, you used to be the chief of police. You successfully thwarted or discouraged them from going to the beach, but I guess they changed venues and went to Cordova Mall or something.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's the same people. Apparently, it's another one of those social media things where let's all meet up here, let's all meet up mm-hmm. there. They have been meeting up at the beach. They've been youngsters have been meeting up at the beach, been meeting
which
up
is
at
lawful.
The mall.
In and of itself.
Which is, yeah, you can certainly go to the beach. The problem is when you get large crowds, they get a little bit unruly. The case at the mall, and I'm not going to speak entirely for the Pensacola
sure.
Police Department, but as I understand, a bunch of fights took place, and you've got to be able to maintain order. And that's the same thing we said at the beach. We're not going to tolerate it. We're going to have plenty of deputies out there, and if you violate the law, you're going to go to jail. Yeah, it's just as simple as that. This is not going to be a Panama City and a Jacksonville and a Daytona Beach where they think they can just go there and be lawless. We're not going to tolerate that kind of thing. We invite people to go to the beach. You can hang out. You can do most anything as long as it's legal.
You know, my dad, who was a pastor, and a long time ago, he'd ridden with the police and was like the police chaplain back in like Michigan. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, the one thing you need to understand about the police is we don't pay them to lose street fights.
Yeah. Yeah,
and they don't.
Yeah,
that's you know that's.
Well, and here's my thought. I always want to. I feel like people have elected me as a sheriff to police this community the way they would expect to be policed, mm-hmm. and to treat people like they're the family. And how safe do you want to be when you go to the beach? When you go to the mall? And that's what we're going to do. We're going to do whatever we can to make sure that your stay at the mall or at the beach or wherever it is safe, and we're going to continue to do so.
Absolutely. Last thing we just want to mention is you have a memorial coming up Monday. Is that right?
Yeah, Monday is the Escambia County Sheriff's Office Law Enforcement Memorial, 9:00 in the morning, right up front. The public's invited. We will honor those who made that ultimate sacrifice, gave their life in line for the residents of Escambia County.
Yeah, we learned from we learned from Sheriff Johnson yesterday that, you know, they're adding a name to their wall because they had an officer get a heart attack, and if you're on duty, connected all that, the way that defines as being an on-duty loss. But remembering everybody who puts their life at risk every day. I mean, I've got a kid who wants to, you know, grow up and be a sheriff. I mean, you know, we think about these things pretty seriously.
Yeah. We're going to, if you recall, I called in last week because I was going to the state memorial because we are adding Jeremy Cassidy to our wall as well. He passed away late last year, and then we'll be having our memorial on Monday, and then we're going to Washington, D.C. The following that Wednesday to add Jeremy Cassidy to the National Monument as well.
Very serious stuff. Sheriff, thank you so much for spending some time with us. Scambia Sheriff Chip Simmons, is always a pleasure keeping us safe, informing us, and we'll talk to you again next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.